We're in a message series right now called First Things First, and Corey kicked off the first couple of weeks and a great job, and the title of today's message is Grow as Lifelong Enthusiastic Followers of Jesus. All right, Corey's reminded us of our church mission. It's been around for years. Our mission is we exist to honor God and lead people into a growing relationship with Him. And how we live out that mission, you'll hear us talk often about we gather, we grow, we go. Last week we talked about gathering in large groups to praise, smaller groups to connect, and today let's talk about growing as a lifelong enthusiastic follower of Jesus through these basic Christian disciplines, Bible study, prayer, and generosity. All right, everybody. Everything that's living grows. Everyone who's living grows. And everything that's living grows, but it grows gradually. You know, you think of your kids or your grandchildren. I think of my six grandchildren, oldest 16, youngest 4. And I could stare at them all day long, and I never see them grow. But if you know, I've not seen them in a while, and all of a sudden, oh, my goodness, you can see it. You could stare at that tree in your backyard, but you're not going to see it grow. But everything that's alive is growing, but it grows gradually. You know, one of the things I thought I might do this past week, and I did, I asked some of my coworkers to share with me some photos of themselves when they were younger, just so you could see when you look at some ministry staff members and you think, oh, my goodness, they're the model of maturity now. But, you know, there was a time when they were younger and growing. In fact, one of the things I want to emphasize today, that as we grow spiritually, it's a process. You never say, well, I've just arrived. It's an ongoing process. And if you've gotten out of that loop, if you've gotten out of that process, today's a wonderful day to reengage. All right? So having said that, let me show some photos of some of my coworkers. Not all, but here are a few. Here's the first photo. Can you guess who that is? That's Shane Gage, our host. Just to be clear, he's the one on the right in the photo here. Just wanted to make sure that was clear. But that's Shane. Now, before I put the next photo up, let me set it up. So this particular staff member grows up in a family of 4. They want to have a fairly serious photo. It's a nice photo. Mom, dad, the 2 kids, and here's the shot. That's Joel, of course. And does that surprise you? No, that doesn't surprise you at all. Joel's a lot of fun. All right, next photo. That's Corey. That's baseball Corey. Here's preacher Corey. There you go. All right, here's the next one. Can you guess who that is? That's Missy. Missy, wave at everybody. There she is. There's Missy right there. And it's amazing that they called her Between Wisecracks, isn't it? Because, you know, Missy's usually got something funny to say, but they called her Between. There you go, amazingly enough. And then here we go. Here's Kevin, next shot, doing his best Napoleon Dynamite impression. Doing great. You know, KP, let me tell you, he's quite the athlete. And here you see his medals there. And then here's the last photo. And guess who this is? Where's Kennedy? There's Kennedy. There she is, Kennedy. Yeah, with her Mad Hatter tea party quite stylish. Or as someone in the first service said, oh, that's the shut up girl right there. That's the one that said that. It was great to see that because everything that's living grows. You know, you look in your backyard, you see a tree, you say, oh, I remember when that tree was just, you know, so small. And you see people, you look at your own kids or friends. Everything that's living grows. It grows gradually. In other words, spiritual growth is not a microwave. Spiritual growth is a slow cooker. It takes time. Let me be very clear. In Christ, you are as redeemed, saved, forgiven as you can ever be. When you come to Christ and you are justified in Him, you can't be any more saved than saved. You can't be any more redeemed than redeemed. But you're not as mature as you'll be. You come to Christ and you're justified instantaneously. By grace and faith, and you're baptized into Christ and you are redeemed and forgiven, you can't be any more redeemed. But then the Bible talks about sanctification, which is an ongoing growth process that takes time. And you say, well, Ronnie, when will I arrive? Well, the Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived. You'll never arrive until Jesus arrives to take you home. And that's when you'll arrive. But until then, it's an ongoing growth process. And I wish I could tell you that the growth process will always be stable and predictable. That the chart, your growth chart will always be up and to the right. It's not true. You're going to have some starts and stops. You're going to have some falters and failings along the way. There will be moments when you'll be so tempted to beat yourself up without mercy, you think, I don't think I can get back on the growth track. Don't you listen to the accusations of the evil one. You can get back on that growth track. There's no better day than today. The mercies of God are fresh and new every single morning. And there's not a better day to rekindle and reignite your relationship with the Lord than this day today. So let's talk about growth, shall we? And I'd like to give you three components of spiritual growth. I'm going to go ahead and give you the words. The words I'm going to highlight today, the words are energy, effort, and environment. And you'll see how I'm going to use these words. Here we go. So, growth components. First of all, you need an energy that is for you. An energy that is for you. Because you have energy that's against you. You do know that there are forces, there are energies that are working against you. There is a very real devil with an army of the demonic. There is a very real world that has a flow and a current that is anti-God, and then you have a sinful nature, your flesh. And so you have energies working against you, but praise God, greater than the one who is in you as a Christian is greater than the forces of evil in the world. You have an energy that is for you. Let me read some scripture. First of all, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The very first gospel sermon, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And now listen to this. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the invisible but very, very real presence of God within you and among you. The Holy Spirit is your holy helper. You're not alone in spiritual growth. God has started a work in you already, and God is leading that work, and He's helping. Look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us, pay attention to the wording, He makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You see, discipleship, spiritual growth, it's all about the intentional pursuit of Jesus, intentionally pursuing to act like Jesus, think like Jesus, talk like Jesus. And the Spirit is helping us, working with us, and notice, changing us more and more. Some translations will say, you're being changed, and notice the passive wording, not passive. God is helping. God is at work here. There's an outside energy. There's an alien energy to us that's for us, helping us. And the Spirit of God is changing you and growing you from one degree of glory to another. That's good news. Now, look at this one other scripture here. 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul says, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Who made it grow? God. You can plant and water in the lives of others and in your own life. Who makes it grow? God makes it grow. And listen carefully, there is nothing that can happen in your life that is beyond God's ability to work through it and make you look more like Jesus when it's all said and done. Most of us in this room, everybody in this room needs a fresh sense that God wants to touch us today. We need a touch from God, and I've got good news. He's alive and well, and he is a wonder worker of grace. He is a mighty God. He is the great I am, and there is nothing that's too difficult for the Lord. He is an awesome God, and if he is for us, no one or nothing can stand against us. You have been washed in the grace of God. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and to quote the Bible, not just the blood of Jesus, the absolutely precious blood of Jesus, because he is the perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine. You are a trophy to the goodness of God, the grace of God, and you've been set free to pursue a high destiny. You're not perfect. You're not immune from temptation, but neither are you alone. And you have resources. You have spiritual resources. And our great God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has started a work in you. And if you'll bring a mustard seed of faith to the table, he will see that good work through to completion. Praise God. You need in spiritual growth an energy that's for you. Yes, there are energies working against you, but greater is the energy that's for you than the energies in this world. Second word, some effort. Effort from you. Where you bring a little something to the table here. And you understand that God has started a work. He is with us. He's leading the way. But we partner with him. We don't just step back as Miss Passive, Mr. Passive. Say, God, you do it all. You bring some effort to the table. You say, now, Ronnie, do you have Bible for this? Yes, I do. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5. In view of all this, make every what? I couldn't hear you. Let me say it again. Make every what? Effort. To respond to God's promises. And now he's about to get very, very specific here. And let me just say something. Sometimes in churches, our expectations of believers is way too small. In many circles, the only thing that's expected of a believer is periodically attend, and secondly, don't cause a big public scandal. And if you periodically attend and don't cause a big public scandal, that's all that's ever expected. But I want you to listen to this list. And here the Apostle Peter calling us upward and onward to a great destiny, calling us upward and onward, being people where we turn the lights on. We turn the lights on for Christ. And rather than leaning into mediocrity and compromise with the world, we step out with a sense of boldness in serving our great God and King. He says, so I want you to make some effort here and supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Rather than seeing how close to the moral edge you can get, you supplement your faith with moral excellence. And then with moral excellence, you add on some knowledge, because Jesus is the smartest one in the room. And knowledge with self-control, some disciplined speech, if you will. Self-control with patient endurance, because you're going to walk through some difficult days. Patient endurance is vital. And add to that godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, caring for one another, loving each other, going to be quick to forgive and incredibly slow to offend. Is that you? Are you pursuing that kind of maturity where you're really quick to forgive, but you're slow to offend, or are you quick to be offended and slow to show patience and forbearance? And add to that love for everyone. And then notice the next phrase, he says, and the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we need energy outside of us. We need some effort. We're going to bring something to the table. There's a divine partnership. I know that spiritual growth is not a matter of just being zapped, that I'm going to stay in the process. Can I just do a little sidebar here for a moment? Because I think spiritual growth is actually connected to, for many of us, our own personal growth. Listen, you may not yet be a believer, but when it comes to your own personal life, for example, in your career, God has put talents and abilities in you. But those talents and abilities aren't going to just magically grow. You're going to have to express some effort. I read not too long ago about a company that had a sales force of 300 people. They were all gathered together. And the speaker asked all those 300 salesmen and women, said, how many of you know the top three salespeople in your company? And virtually every hand went up. Then he said, how many of you have gone to those top three salespeople and asked them for a lunch or a breakfast where you could pick their brain? Virtually no hand stayed up. In other words, you have resources all around you. You have people all around you. You have an internet that you could use for more than playing games. That you can do online seminars and teaching and growth. And rather than saying, well, once I get my big break, then I'll change my attitude. Why don't you change your attitude and maybe that'll lead to a break and some open doors. In other words, growth doesn't just automatically come and be placed on your table and on your lap. There's some effort involved. And even spiritually, we need energy that's for us, and we have that, the Holy Spirit. We need some effort from us. And then thirdly, we need a really good environment around us, an environment around you. You really can't even tell your life story. If you were to say, Ronnie, tell me your life story, I couldn't really do it. Apart from naming people and relationships. and you are surrounded. You don't live in a vacuum. You are surrounded by relationships. Many of them bring wisdom and good things to you, but some of them will bring absolute foolishness to you. And if you want your future to go well, listen carefully. If you want your future to go well, you better align yourself with a posse, with a group, with a church, with a team that is headed in the direction where you want to go. So often what looks like self-discipline is less self-discipline than it is having the smarts to get smack dab in the middle of a group that's going somewhere good, and you just sort of get carried along until it becomes part of your own DNA. If you want to read more, join a book club. If you want to run more, join a running club. You want to exercise more? Hire a trainer. You have relationships around you that are full of wisdom, and you have some relationships around you that are full of foolishness, and you can't avoid them all. But you got to be wise and smart. Proverbs chapter 13 says this: walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Proverbs chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up. This is talking about the power of church, the power of a good, healthy environment. Encourage each other, build each other up, just as you're doing. Evaluate your friendships. Who are the people you're regularly seeing? Who are the people you're having lunch with? Who are the people you're hanging out with in your downtime? Are they making you better? Are they pushing you up higher? Are they helping you to become the person you want to become, or are they leading you into mediocrity and compromise? You need people to help bring out the best in you. People that inspire you to do better, who set that role model, who encourage, who challenge you to lead a life of godly excellence and integrity. You need an energy that's for you. You need some effort from you, and you need a good environment around you, and they will help to fuel your own spiritual growth, which is a process. So the question we ask is not have I arrived, but am I arriving? am I maturing? Stay involved in that process. My prayer for you is that you'll be that lifelong, enthusiastic follower of Jesus, and that even as you get older, you'll be known and distinguished for your service to others. And you'll be known as a sage, a person of wisdom in your circle. You know, when we're younger in Christ, we tend to equate spiritual maturity with knowledge alone. Knowledge is absolutely vital. And then we get to a point where, you know, we know a lot of the basics, and we think, well, I need some quote-unquote meatier topics. But many believers overlook that as you become more and more mature in Christ, your maturity gets fed by your service and by your investment in others. Brother Campbell used to preach at the First Church of Christ in Burlington, Kentucky, would sometimes say to his church these words. He would say, "My friends, many of us in the room need to exchange our bibs for aprons, but you're going to find a new dimension in your Christian walk. Not just through more and more knowledge, but through acts of service. All right. Let me put a photo up here. It's a photo of a flower. Kind of wind down with this. This is a photo of an amaryllis. And back during a Christmas, for a Christmas gift, our children's ministry gave to all of their teachers a little amaryllis bud. And my wife teaches fifth grade Sunday school. And so she got the little amaryllis bud. And so it was no bigger than my thumb. And it was just white and no bigger than my thumb. And look at it now. Isn't that beautiful? Shake your head like this. That's beautiful. It's a nice, nice flower. And so Martha and I were chatting about this very topic, spiritual growth, the other day. And I said, honey, if you were going to advise a younger believer on spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, the intentional pursuit of Christ, what would you do? And she pointed to the amaryllis that's in our kitchen. It's right between the KitchenAid mixer and the sink, so it's in an important place there. She pointed to the amaryllis, and she said, it's just like that beautiful flower. For that flower to grow, it has to be in soil. It needs to be in a good, healthy environment, all right? And then that flower didn't just grow haphazardly. I put some energy into that. I put some effort into that. I didn't just take that bud and throw it out on the patio. In fact, it came with some instructions, and I followed those instructions. But she said, the key, God did that. You think I could grow that flower? You think I could craft something that beautiful and colorful, that majestic? Oh, I followed the instructions, and so I expended some energy and effort, and I put it in a good environment, good soil with appropriate amount of water and nurture. So I planted and I watered, but as we grow, don't you ever forget, God is at work in you. He has started that work. And if you'll partner with him with a mustard seed of faith, he will finish it to completion in an absolutely beautiful way. God bless you, everybody. God bless you.